Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Every story has a place of beginning, a direction that it's going, and a time of ending. Your life has a place of beginning called a birthday, or when you were conceived and then born into the world. You're now in that destination of living your life before the ending of death, or really a new beginning in death and resurrection. The story is made possible by God. This life, this story, is a gift from God. The gift has your name on it. The gift has our name on it, that we are to live together. We need the grace of Christ in which to see this story completely and clearly. The story of the Bible is a story that opens with, in the beginning, God created. And the last verse in the Bible of Revelation 22:21 says, "And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with his people." Well, there's a question: who is the people of the Lord? The story that Ted and Robin read for us today is among those pivotal verses in all of history, not just in the Bible, not just in the heart of the New Testament, but in all of history. These verses get at the heart of what it means to be in the family of God, equally and available for everyone. It's the radical message of God's love coming through Christ Jesus to deliver that good news. And we're always catching up on what this good news means for us. Meaning there's always more of the good news that we are to grow into, that we are to be more of the story and allow that story to be the unfolding truth from our life. And in today, you may be at a part of the story when it's kind of catching your attention. Oh, okay. And others may be in the midst of the story and said, "I know, boy, that story grabbed a hold of me, and I'm just holding on to the reins of my life through the grace of Jesus because it's quite an adventure." And others may be exhausted by where this story is taking you in life. And God has a message of how and when through my brief sermon today. The how of the story, and the why of the story, and the when of the story. Patrick and Zachary played a beautiful hymn, and you may have found yourself, for many of us, singing some of the hymns, the lyrics quietly to yourself. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. That is that gazing into this presence of Christ, which our stained glass window is simply a mirror image of an image of what it means to have a focus in our life through him, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But when we do, when we gaze upon this presence, then we find ourselves seeing more than we would ever see otherwise. Our vision continually to get sharpened and to be shaped by his promise. Now, the verses that are read for both today's sermon reading, but also that you may take this passage and read the full context later today, even as next week you read the rest of Acts 11 for your story for next Sunday. And that is, it opens and tells what happened. Then two people, Cornelius and Peter, get together and basically recount what happened to them individually. And then it's told a third time to an audience that were standing judge over the experience of what happened to Peter and Cornelius, and to say whether they had the right to give their approval or disapproval. The same story told three times within a chapter and a half of the Bible means pay attention. And a verse that continues to get communicated in the heart of the story that shows three times within this story is that what God has created, that it is good. That God doesn't create anything which is unclean. The power of this living Lord God is a promise to hear it time and again, what he makes possible for our life. Now, if someone tells you the same thing three times, what are they saying to you? You better pay attention. And if you didn't get it the first time, I'm going to give you a second time. And if you didn't get it the second time, I'll give you a third time. But at the end of the third time, there is no excuse not to get the message. But what occurs is that our heart has to change when we receive the vision. And the reason it's told three times, it's the power of the education principle of reiteration and iteration, telling it again and again so it gets through our way of thinking and our way of feeling. Today, I'm asking you, are you calling something impure that God has made clean? Are you calling anything impure in your life in a relationship of someone because of a skin color that's different than yours? Are you saying anything in your life that someone has a different accent than yours as being unclean? Are you saying anything is in your life that's unclean if they are a different sex than you? If they're a different economic standard than you? If they have a different educational background than you? If they laugh differently from you? The power of what God comes to say is that he has touched with his creative goodness. In the beginning, God created six times, it says, and it was good. Then it is good. And the message that we are to catch up with, that he has made this clean, is that it is to be clean in our hearts so we may live in light of that power. Now, how do we get at this? This is the how and the why. Well, we begin at a beginning place called prayer. Prayer is this way of being aware of God's presence. It's seeing the heaven to earth connection. Prayer is a sense of intentionally placing ourselves in our awareness of God's presence, God who is always with us. But there are times like worship right now by Facebook Live and live streaming or in person in our sanctuary, or times when you are at home or at work or in the car or in the garden or walking in the woods, having a cup of coffee, and you just pause and you say, Lord, I'm aware of you, or I want to be aware of you, just get in prayer. And prayer, what prayer does in Scripture is it intentionally puts us, our mind and our heart, into God's presence. That's the power of it. It's why so often we emphasize in the life of our church, let prayer and Scripture reading be a part of your life, because the very beginning of it takes you into the great commandment. The great commandment of love, the great commandment of God's unity, that you bring your heart and how you feel into God's presence through prayer. You bring your mind and how you think into God's presence through prayer. You bring your body for the doing that will come from the prayer, and you bring your spirit, which is having been made in the image of God, and through Christ Jesus renewed in the gift of salvation. And then you bring your relationships of your neighbor, that you are to love all just like yourself. And that's where this story gets us. Prayer is dangerously good. Prayer is the kind of danger that you want to be a part of. Prayer is not the warning of a temptation like, beware, don't do this. Prayer leads us into, get after it. You're headed the right direction. Don't stop now. Keep on going. You're going Godward in your life. And so in Acts 10, 9b through 11a, that's a technical language, but you can get at it there. But you also will hear a similar story in Acts with Peter, and then later recounted again. It is said that Peter went to pray on the top of the home, on the roof on the top of the home of Simon the Tanner. Now, the beginning of the story of this scene. How did Peter get to Joppa? Well, he was in a nearby town, and the story was that a wonderful lady, Tabitha or Dorcas by Greek and Aramaic name, became ill and died, and he was sent for to come to Joppa and there to pray over her and see what God would do. He went, he prayed, she is restored, she was resurrected. That was the great reversal of life after death. God again showing that not everyone who dies on earth is going to have a moment where their body will be resurrected on earth, but it shows that God has the power of the resurrection. He was called to Joppa because many of you will recall the story about Jonah. And Jonah left Joppa to leave his mission, to go in the other direction of his mission, to bring the good news of God's grace to the people at Nineveh, because Jonah hated the people in Nineveh. They were their enemies. And he went in the opposite direction, disobeying God's call in his life. And you know what happened to him? He ended up in the belly of a great fish. You don't want to be there. So here is Peter in Joppa. He didn't intend to go there, but a mission called him there. Your life today, you may find yourself in a place differently than where you thought you would be, but here you are, and it can be seen as a great divine mission of God to be where you are in life in the midst of COVID-19. That's the promise, the gift. And so while he was there, at noon he began to pray. Now, noon was not the normal prayer time in the Jewish or the Jewish-Christian prayer cycle of a day. But he was taking himself in that awareness, and he was hungry. He was ready for good Tex-Mex. He ordered out for, you know, the right kind of enchiladas and tacos, or what they would have in their day. And while he was waiting for the food to arrive, he had a vision. Now, this vision not only would change Peter's life, but it would change a direction for the whole Christian movement. Not that it made the movement. The movement was made by Christ Jesus. But the movement was catching up to what the Lord was doing and saying. And in this vision, it's a sheet came down from heaven. In his vision, came down from heaven and revealed to him all the foods of the world that God had made clean, and they were way beyond what he thought were to be clean. And he said, take and eat. And his resistance was says, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. And then the Lord said, what I have made clean, do not call impure. He woke up from his vision. This is a form that you yourself may meditate this way. It's when you are relaxing in God's presence. And as you relax in God's presence, you take an image, maybe the verse of the Bible, like we're using today, into an early, just relaxing, called the first stage of sleep, REM 1. If you start to snore, you know you've gone too far. And you take it just, and you let your mind just kind of let your mind kind of show the screen of what that passage or that image is going to show you. And that's exactly what Peter was doing. It's a beautiful form of early Christian meditation to be used today for the fresh understanding of God's word within our life. And so from this hypnagogic meditation, he then awakened. And right at that moment, there was a knock at the door. Because the other side of that is that Cornelius, who lived in Caesarea, which was a long, long walk from where Joppa was, had sent messengers to ask for Simon Peter. Because Cornelius, too, had had a vision from God during his afternoon at 3:00 the day before. Now, you'll notice that both of them were intentionally in God's presence. When we say as people of faith, I'll pray for you, that's what we do, isn't it? And when people say out in our society, we'll pray for you, there is frequently the response of, I don't want your prayers, I want your actions. But maybe they don't know what real prayer is. Real prayer leads to the right action. Real prayer puts us into a presence of God where we ourselves are updated, formed, fashioned, and shaped. The Acts 10:9-11 gets at this, being able to pray into this awareness of God that in heaven to earth connection came down by the sheet into their presence. And this is where God's work is in your life. Are you seeing the heaven to earth connection? Jesus had it in the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. It's a prayer that we prayed last Friday at Fort Sam National Cemetery in the service for Lupita Mignon Barnes. And being there of this lady, that she herself was a woman of prayer, born in San Antonio with family heritage in Mexico, equally comfortable being in Mexico as she was in Texas, and actually began with her mother an organization to build bridges of unity in a region of great tension between Tejanos and Mexicans. And that in her life, she embodied what it meant to be one in Christ. She described herself as an American of Mexican descent. And we celebrate within her life as we were at Fort Sam, and the service was live streamed, people from other regions seeing the service, about the power of a resurrection of one who for nearly a century had lived this message out, the power of prayer. And so the Barnes family is here in person today. To be this person of prayer has to be renewed in that mission and the call through life. Whereas two Fridays ago, we were here and also a service live stream for Earl Condra. In the midst of his story, and Bitsy is here today, his story of a life, death, and resurrection of a purpose in life that influenced many other people, even to where his grandchildren would speak at the service about their influence in coaching them. See, prayer does that shaping work in our life when we see the earth to heaven connection. Then two, prayer requires an obedience. When we've received a shaping force of God, then we begin to put it in play. I remember at First Baptist Knoxville, Tennessee, in college ministry, there was a prayer experience in which we were praying, and the person who was praying said, "Lord, and also please provide," and in the middle of the prayer said, "That's okay, Lord, I'll do that." It was like in the middle of the prayer, the prayer realized that God had touched that person's life to be God's answer to the prayer. There's an obedience that's there. And when we say publicly or privately to people, "I'll pray for you," that's a radical movement of putting it together, because we've been informed of something that we are to do or to lift into God's presence on their behalf. Recently, I was reading for my grandchildren, Alice in Wonderland, in which she'd gone through the hole and the white rabbit spoke to Alice. "Alice, don't just do something, but stand there." This phrase, now made frequently used in our society, had its beginning there. Prayer is a place where we are standing there before we do something in the presence of God. But then we are to do it, the obedience. And obedience is an intentionality. It is growing us into the reality. It is being curious to engage the possibility of what God will do. Are you curious about God in COVID-19 pandemic? Are you curious about God's great work in our society when we're seeking to still heal racial wounds? Are you curious with God of the financial ache that you feel caused by the pandemic? Are you curious of what God is simply doing in the season of your life? That curiosity can be blessed with an intentional awareness that He is seeking to do something fresh and powerful through you, that you are part of His answer into the world. And so when Peter then left Joppa, went to Caesarea, where Cornelius was. Cornelius, who was a Gentile, he was a leader in the Roman army. And being there, he went to his house, which is something Peter had never done before in his life, had never thought he would do in his life, but there he found himself being present with him. And as he was there, he spoke a message. And he spoke a message by saying, "You're aware that right now you know I wouldn't be here if I didn't have a direction from God to be in your presence. But because God spoke to this, He showed me that anyone who is created and cleaned by God is not impure." And then out of curiosity, Peter said, "Now, may I ask why you sent for me?" That Cornelius had sent three messengers from Caesarea to Joppa for Simon to come and explain, Peter to come and explain to him a message of Christ. Peter took with him six people because he knew it was a dangerous mission to be in the presence of Cornelius. Cornelius had asked everybody in his household to come and be a part of this conversation. And then with curiosity, Peter asked, "I'm really kind of wondering what God is saying to you and saying to me so we can understand what's unfolding, what's occurring. Now, that's a good part of prayer. You've heard me say it different times. If we go into prayer and we're as exhausted afterwards as we were when we began praying, we weren't praying. We were simply waddling in our idolatry of worry. If we go into prayer and we are lacking moral courage of where our prayer will take us, then we weren't bringing our courage heart into God's presence to be renewed. I know that when I am unsure, there is more of that moral courage of mine that needs to be touched by the Holy Spirit so that I can be clear of what I'm to do. Now, we have been scheduled, many of us from the Life of Trinity, to actually be on location in Caesarea. But you don't have to go there to be in person. But this is where we would have been or have been. That it is a place of historical significance by the sea with the Roman location for the governor of Israel and the army's center command location. And there, in the midst of that place where Cornelius had many responsibilities, he was risking his reputation to be in the presence of a message of God through Peter about Jesus Christ, because that's what he hungered for. So, we pray, we're obedient to do what we understand, because only then can we know what we're to do, because we're in the motion of doing it. It never gets clear to us all up front. It always unfolds to us along the way. And then at that moment, we are expanding to release God's power, releasing God's power by our willingness to stand in as God's living proof in our world. Are you standing as a witness of God in this time of COVID-19 pandemic? Are you standing not as one who has it all figured out, but you're one who's figuring it out in light of your relationship with God that gives confidence to other people that they too may stand with God in these uncertain days? We have the same questions as anyone, but we're not taking the question. We're taking our questions not only to science, not only to business economics, not only to people, but we're taking those questions to God to have a moral courage to live with faith during the days in which we are in. And then God will shape our lives, shape our city, shape our state, shape our nation, and shape our world because of this moment that we have been stilled by a threat. It's a moment of opportunity. It's a moment of clarity that God will see us through as we depend on Him. So, you would think it would be like, way to go, Peter. Way to go, Cornelius. Wow, we're proud of you. But when the word of their meeting got back to Jerusalem with the elders, Peter was called in to give an account for himself. And when Peter went, again, the same Lord that brought him in prayer, made him obedient, then gave him the clarity, Peter, this is your moment to stand in yielding to the Holy Spirit that my presence will expand with power through you into a message that God gave. And so, standing before the elders of Jerusalem, these are Christian believers. These are believers who had come from a Jewish background to their faith in Christ. Now remember, the whole understanding of Acts is that when we come to our faith in Christ, everything that has went before us is to be transformed in Christ. Our understanding of people, our understanding of our finances, the understanding of our time, the understanding of our heart values, everything is to be transformed in the power of the Spirit. And when Cornelius was baptized on the spot, he was baptized in the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, raised to walk in a new life. Now you notice he was not circumcised. That's a technical thing that's pretty important to guys around this matter. It's a technical thing that the Jewish requirement is that if you had truly become a person of faith, that you would show the sign of faith through an act called circumcision. But Cornelius was not. He was baptized. And that ticked off some people. And there became a group of people called the circumcision party who said they were followers of Christ, but they wouldn't let that old way of thinking be transformed, and they put it as an as an obstacle on the lives of others and cause great division. But Peter brought a message to say, that is wrong thinking. And let me tell you, because this is the witness of the Holy Spirit. And so it says in Acts 11, so God gave them the same gift. They believed in the Lord Jesus. And as they did so, they said, we get it. We understand. Because Peter had said, who am I to oppose what God is doing? And the audience of people also, being at their best in light of the Spirit, said, when they heard this, they had no further objections. And praise God, saying that even the Gentiles were to come to this faith in Christ Jesus. Now, they said that, but not everyone meant it. They said it because it was the right thing to say in that moment to be publicly acceptable. But privately, they were holding their same old resentment before they came to faith in Christ. Now, you and I and anyone may be set free. Set free truly by the power of the presence of a vision the Lord gives us of his radical love for everyone and the gift of Christ in every relationship so that we ourselves don't go prancing around like a little gods saying who's in and who's out. Who matters and who doesn't matter. Who's more important and who's less important. But that we all are yielding into the bigness of God so everyone can grow up into the measure and the fullness of Christ Jesus. Wow. World, COVID-19 pandemic message to us and to the church in particular. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.